ask that you'd give your prayerful attention to our pastor and our preacher tonight. We always hope when we stand here that it isn't us, but the Lord's Spirit that's pushing and helping us to see and know what to say. And I know that this is His desire. And so I ask that you would hold Him up in your silent prayers and that you would open your ears to hear the message. Our brother and pastor, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Joel. It is good to see each one of you here tonight. I know we have some of our regular members that are out of town, but it's good to see that we have a few guests here tonight to help fill their spots. You know, since the last time I preached, I've been to two continents. Brother Brian and I went to India a few weeks ago, and it's definitely a very interesting place. There's a great deal of beauty there when you get in the southern part, very green. I found it to be, the people to be very photogenic, more than any place I've ever been in the world. Just an interesting people, and their different little carts and things, very photogenic. We spent 3 days at a nice congregation there in a place called Golaville. And during that time, we had five baptisms in the Sea of Bengal. And I guess maybe you could say we had six if you count me. It was a very rough ocean, and the waves were pretty high. And I know I baptized myself at least once trying to get this accomplished. We had the last day we were there, we had a lady that was very sick. She was laying in bed, and she was on an IV. And we went there first to give her the sacrament. And she could barely partake of the sacrament. But then they asked us to administer to her, which we did. And we went back to eat our lunch before we left. And we came back after lunch. And this lady was, at that time, she was setting up and eating. And she had a smile on her face. I'm sure that the Lord blessed her. I haven't heard any more of her condition, but I'm sure that the Lord blessed her. Many things in India are very much like they were 2,000 years ago. You'll see little carts being pulled by cattle or by a camel. Some of the wagons that the camels pull they look the size of a small house. They're huge. And they're pulling them down the freeway. And if you can imagine a freeway, something like any of the freeways we have here, you know, we have restrictions here. There, they have no restrictions. There'll be buses and trucks and cars flying along, and then you'll have these little carts or somebody pulling a cart by hand, and this traffic is all going in and out. So the traffic is somewhat hectic, to say the least. The last day we were there, as we were getting ready to leave, I wanted to get a picture of them thrashing the rice. So much like in Christ's time, of doing it the same way, of thrashing it out there in the fields. So we saw a place where they were thrashing the rice. So I said, let's stop. So we pulled over and stopped. And I got out of the car. And I go over to the side of the road to take a picture. And of course, they saw me, so they quit thrashing. So I take the picture of them all standing there just like this, looking at me. There's six or seven of them there. And we're on a busy highway, and I'm just wondering when that next bus is going to run over me. So I'm thinking, what do I do? We're getting ready to leave, and this is not the picture I want. So I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me, and then it just popped into my head, and I just went like this two times. And by the time I looked up, they were thrashing the rice again. And I was able to get my picture very similar to what I know took place in the time of Christ. Let's read in 3 Nephi chapter 8, verse 51. This is on page 652. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Satan does have that desire to sift us as wheat. He wants to destroy our spiritual lives. He wants to separate us from God, to separate us from the love of God, to separate us from the Holy Spirit. And that's something we need to always be aware of, that Satan is out there with that desire to destroy our lives. The next place I went with Brian was to Nigeria. And there's a saying that if you can drive in Nigeria, you can drive anywhere in the world. And I think it's probably a very true statement. We don't drive there, but the traffic is very chaotic. It seems like they have no laws. They can drive 100 miles an hour. They can turn in front of you. They can drive on the wrong side of the road. And nobody says anything, but we got pulled over because our driver was talking on a cell phone. And I took 15 minutes. They threatened to impound the car and arrest the driver and maybe us, I don't know. But you know, it's while driving down those roads in Nigeria that I got many of the thoughts today for my sermon. As I was watching the people go about their daily walk of life, the busy taking care of the cares of life, and that night after that one day when I had these thoughts, I wrote them down at the hotel that night, at the Alkaka Hotel. And that's actually the name of it. And it was, you know, you can't expect a whole lot for $12 a night. But it was really, in some ways, it was more comfortable than some of our other hotels that we stayed in. It looked like the place had been abandoned, but it actually had air conditioning and it had a pretty comfortable bed. And for dinner, we had an option of having rice with chicken or with bush rat. And I picked the chicken, but I kind of regret it. If I had it to do again, I would probably get the bush rat. Our brother Greg, who was with us, said it tastes pretty good. So maybe I'll try it someday. This Greg is a... It's the first time I'd met him. He was a nice young man. He lived in Lagos, and he traveled with us during our whole trip. And he said that the next time we come back there, that he would have a congregation for us to preach to in Lagos. And currently there is no congregation there. And I'm sure that he will have a congregation there that we can talk to. You know, one of my thoughts as we were driving down these roads was, is there a time to be driving 80 miles an hour without a seatbelt on? And of course, that's what I was doing. Didn't have a whole lot of choice. There either isn't a seatbelt in the car, or sometimes there may be four people in the back seat. No way for everyone to buckle up. But I also know that it would not be a time to say, you know, there's no seatbelt in that car. I'm not getting in there. I know that that would not be part of God's plan. And I know that when we're in these situations, that we need to put our faith and our trust in God. And I know that He will protect us, because we don't have any other choice. I know in these foreign countries that many times we're placed in these kind of situations that may not be safe, but you really don't have any choice. But to just put your faith and trust in God, that He will watch over you. So what about that same scenario in the United States? I think for us to do that here is wrong. Because we are provided here with safety devices. There's a difference. If we do that here, we're not putting our trust in God. We're tempting the Lord. It says in Matthew 4:7, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." I think we need to use wisdom in all things. And God has provided us things in this nation that other nations don't have. And I think that we need to take advantage of those things. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That is the theme of my sermon tonight, a time for everything. And I'm going to cover a few of these things. I won't by any means cover all of them. We'll start with the time to be born. There was a time for each one of us to be born. In this time of history, I think that each one of us was placed here for a purpose. And I think that God has a plan for each one of us. And I think God is continually trying to lead us in the right direction, in the direction that He would have for us in our lives. But you know, the direction that the Lord is trying to lead us in may not always be the direction that we want to go. We may have other ideas in our life of what we need to do. But we need to look for what God has planned for our life. We need to be diligent about that, because His plan may be different than ours. We must make our desires the same as God's desires and not walk in a different direction. You know, if we're not careful, we could spend our whole life going down a path that is opposite of God's. One that is not part of His plan. And to follow after God's plan will take some sacrifice. We may have to give up some things that we wanted to do or that we thought that we should do. But we need to do the work that God has planned for us. Those things that He has asked us to do. So God absolutely has a plan for each one of us. Each one of us in this room. But that doesn't mean that we will fulfill that plan. It's up to us. The choice is ours. Whether we follow that plan or not. You know, we can eliminate ourselves from God's plan if we are not willing to follow after Him. Not because of God, but because of us following after our own will and our own desires. I want to read a few scriptures here that is a warning to us. They're pretty strong scriptures, but it's a warning to us to follow after God's plan. To follow in His footsteps. Because we know that over time, we have had those that have fallen away from the church. And fallen into paths that could lead them to destruction. Let's first read in 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 66. This is on page 660. It's one verse. Nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, that's us. This is talking directly to us. We have received the fullness of the gospel. Then, if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquities upon their own heads, saith the Father. Very strong words. Talking to us, we have to be cautious in our lives that we don't harden our hearts and go after our own desires. Let's turn over to Alma chapter 9, verse 22. This is on page 344. Alma 9:22. Then if your hearts have been hardened, yea, if we have hardened our hearts against the word, insomuch that it hath not been found in us, then will our state be awful, for then we shall be condemned. Again, very strong words, but a warning to us to stay on the path and to follow after God's plan. And to look for His plan in our lives. For every one of us, it's going to be a little bit different. A little bit different way of serving God. A little bit different things that we're going to have to do. Let's also look at 2 Nephi chapter 11, 76 and 77. This is on page 145. For because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction. And this grieveth my soul, It says here that the Spirit will not always strive with man. And I know that the Spirit is trying to guide each one of us today, trying to guide us in that path that we need to go, that we will be part of His plan. But if we go contrary to the will of God and go off on our own path, it can be very dangerous. It can lead us to destruction. It can lead us away from that Spirit that is trying to guide us and direct us every day in our lives. So what happens when we don't fulfill our obligations? God has a plan for us, but we're not willing to do that. What happens? Is God's plan frustrated? No, it's not frustrated. God's plan will not be frustrated. If someone is not willing to do the things that the Lord has planned for them, there'll be someone else. Someone else will take up the gauntlet. Someone else will take their position. Kind of like in battle. If you have a soldier that defects, or a soldier that's killed, there's someone else to take his spot. I truly believe that God has a plan for each one of us in this room. Something for us to do. Especially in these last days, there's a lot to do. A lot to do in our service to God. But you know, it's up to each one of us. We have to choose. We have to do it daily. Choose whether we're going to follow after God's plan. And we need to diligently pray about it and seek wisdom and seek guidance that we might know what God has in store for us. Pray over everything in our lives. If we're contemplating getting another job or moving or any number of things, we need to pray about it so that God will guide us and direct us, that we might follow in that path that He has chosen for us. Another thing I want to talk about is a time to listen. And listening is part of good communication. And my wife, I'm sure, will like to hear this. I listen to her. I just don't seem to hear her. So this is for me, as much as anyone else. You know, I've found in life that most people are better talkers than they are listeners. I know people at work that when you're in a conversation with them, really the only listening they do is just waiting for you to stop talking so they can start talking. Do you know people like that? They never hear anything you say. They're just waiting so they can start talking again. It's important to be a good listener. To hear others. to give our full attention to them, to show that we care about them. You know, I think a lot of times problems can be solved by just by doing 90% listening and 10% talking. Another thing we need to listen to, I talked a little bit earlier, is listen to the Holy Spirit. We must be receptive to the Holy Spirit. What it is saying to us, what it is telling us to do, how it is guiding us in our life. And not just hear the things we want to hear, which is easy to do. To just hear what you want to hear and follow after that. Because sometimes the things we're told by the Holy Spirit, it's not the easiest path. It may be a hard path for us, but that's the one that God wants us to take so we can be part of His plan. If we go down that path, it'll lead to another one. You know, it's funny about our lives, because we're whatever we're doing, these small things we're doing in life, we don't see the big picture like God does. We don't see that by us doing this today is going to affect 100 other things 10 years from now. But God sees those things. And we may be going down this path for that bigger thing in the future that we have no idea what it is. The next one, a time to go to church. 4 Nephi 1, verse 13, on page 682. And they did not walk any more after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. It's our responsibility to be in church. It's important to be here, to be to every service possible. I realize that there are times when we can't be here. There's times we may have to work and we can't get out of it. Or there's times we may be sick. But we can't look for excuses. We need to take every opportunity to be here in church, so that we may be nourished, so that we may grow, so that we will have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. That will be so much more important as time goes on. And when we come to church, we need to be here on time. I know often we are very lax about that. Whenever anything is scheduled, when we have a young people's meeting, they're supposed to meet at 2 o'clock. We should be there at 2 o'clock, ready to go. If we have choir practice at 3:30, we should be there, ready to go at 3:30, ready to serve our Lord. When we're late, we're not showing respect to God. We're not showing respect to our brothers and sisters. It's important. I know occasionally something can happen and we can be cause us to be late. But it's not like Africa. Africa, they're late a lot. They have problems. I know one day that Moses, we had a big meeting there, a referendum meeting, a couple hundred, 300 people there. Moses wanted to be on time at all cost. He did not want to be late to that service. We were late. We got stuck. It rained the night before. We were stuck in the mud. He was upset because he wanted to be on time. But he didn't have the resources. Things out of his control. Generally, that's not our problem here, though. We have the ability to be on time. A time to work. Let's look at Alma chapter 1, verses 37 to 39. This is on page 301. And when the priests left their labors to impart the word of God unto the people also left their labors to hear the word of God. And when the priests had imparted unto them the word of God, they all returned again diligently unto their labors. And the priest, not esteeming himself above the hearer, for the preacher was no better than the hearer, neither was the teacher any better than the learner. And thus they were all equal. And they did all labor, every man according to his strength. We are to labor for our support. It is our duty to support our families. To work. Sometimes it may not be just for money. Things around the house need to be done. To labor for our support. When we are looking for a job, there may be many things that we think about. Whether we like that type of work, how the pay is, where it's located. Many different factors. But I think it is important for us to try to get a job by a local so that we can meet with our brothers and sisters. You know, I don't think it's usually part of God's plan for us to get a job that is away from a local. We don't usually see congregations sprouting up from this, do we? I think it is important for our spiritual well-being to find a job that is near a local where we can be nourished and strengthened with our brothers and sisters. You know, in this world today, It's hard enough to go through life with the temptations and the trials when you are in a local, much less being separated from a local. A time to love. I'm going to read the same scripture that Joel read this morning. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We know how important it is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Joel covered that this morning very well. So I'm not going to go into any more detail on that. We know the importance of love. Now let's look at the next one, though. A time to hate. That kind of seems to go against everything we've been taught, doesn't it? Since we're a little tiny child in Sunday school. You know that there's a time to hate. Let's look at what that is. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. We see that we are to cleave to those things that are good. But we are to hate. That's what abhor means, to hate. That which is evil. And you know, This is a very important part of our spiritual life. Because if we don't hate evil and we don't hate sin, it's going to be harder to not sin, isn't it? That's a lot of the problems in the world today. People don't hate sin. What do they? They love sin. That's what they want to do. They want to commit those sins. The desires of their heart. But as we're going through life, and we're trying to remove sin from our life, it's much harder to do if we don't hate that sin. A time to prepare. Alma chapter 9, verse 41. It's on page 346. Alma chapter 9, verse 41. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. This is a time of probation for each one of us. It is that time to prepare to meet God. That is what everyone is doing every day of their life. They are preparing to meet God. Some people are doing evil, aren't they? That's their works. That's their preparation. And when they meet with God, it's not going to be well with them, is it? But this time is our time to prepare to meet God, to do our works, to do our service. And during this time to prepare to meet God, we may have things in our life that we want to get rid of. We may have sins in our lives. We may have things that we need to overcome. We need to use this time wisely to prepare ourselves. To prepare ourselves spiritually. You know, I can see in my life that I know many things have taken me a long time to overcome. Sins and things in my life that were hard for me to get rid of. And I know that God gives us this time to work out our salvation. And I know that we need to look for opportunities in our life of things that we need to do, of steps that we need to take, of choices that we have every day, of things we need to do that will take us to the next step. You know, I can remember 10 years ago when I was asked by a couple brothers to teach the Sunday school class, the young people's Sunday school class. Well, you know, at that time, I had things I needed to remove from my life. I needed to study more. There was things I needed to do. And I wasn't getting them done. They asked me to take this Sunday school class. Oh, it would have been easy to say no. I wanted to say no. I almost said no. But I felt I needed to say yes. And a couple years later, I was called to be a priest. It was part of that preparation that I needed. How many times in our life do we have instances like this where we're asked to do something? May say yes, may say no. What if I would have said no? Where would I be today? I don't know. It's hard to say. But I know if we're not willing to follow after God's plan, it can lead us to destruction. And I know that that was part of God's plan for me to teach that Sunday school class, to prepare me to be called to be a priest. And then last August, I was called to be an elder. Another step, another part of God's plan. And as I contemplated that, I knew that being an elder, that there was a possibility that I could end up being pastor. And it was disturbing to me. Get out of that comfort zone. And I thought about this week after week after week. And I would think about that, the possibility of being pastor, and I would be very upset. You know, I just can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not ready. And then I would think, well, I just won't put my name in. And then I'd kind of get a little smile on my face. I'd solve that problem. You know, just don't put my name in. It's easy. But I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. Wanting to take the easy path. I wanted to take that easy path. Just like I have many times before. I thought, well, I can wait a year. I'll put my name in next year. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll do that. But I knew that that wasn't right. I knew that I needed to put my name in. And let the vote of the body decide whether I would be pastor or not. And I know, as I've seen some other things unfold in my life, that it was time for me to be the pastor. I don't think there's any coincidence that I was called last August. It was time for me to be the pastor. To get that experience. Not that I was a better candidate than anyone else. Bob was a good pastor. Not that I could do anything that they couldn't do. Maybe not even as well as they can do it. But it was time. It was time for me to be the pastor. And I think we need to look in our lives. What does God have planned for us? It may not be the easy path. If you truly know me, you know that I would like to be sitting right there where Debbie's sitting. But that was not God's plan for me. I don't know what the future holds. But I know that we need to listen. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And don't always look for the easy path. Because the easy path, that may be the desires of our heart that may lead us to destruction and not be part of God's plan. A time for everything. What should we be doing in our lives at this time? Each one of us needs to ask ourselves that. What am I supposed to be doing? What does God have planned for me? Am I doing His will? Am I following the path that He wants me? We obviously need to be serving God every day of our lives. But you know, every one of our duties is going to be a little bit different. God will have a little bit different plan for each one of us. But we need to look for these opportunities in life. They may not come around again. We never know. If God opens a door for us and we don't go through it, will there be another one open that follows after His plan? I don't know. You know, I think as we go through life that we... it's kind of a series of trials or tests. And once we pass one, there's another one there. Once we go through a door, we may not know what's on the other side. But if we're faithful to our Lord and following after His plan, another door will open. And another one, and another one. God will lead us and guide us and direct us. And He will help us. When we take that hard path, He will be there with us to guide us and direct us in all that we do. The last one. A time to die. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. The day of our death is better than the day of our birth. But that's only talking about those people that were willing to serve God. the ones that were willing to follow after His plan. The ones that were willing to go down that path that God wants them to. God will always be there with us to guide us and direct us. He will be there to continually lead us. And life will have struggles. It will have trials and problems. But we can overcome these things. If we have that desire in our hearts to follow after Him, I ask that each one of us look into our lives and see what God is asking us to do. That we might diligently strive to follow after His plan so that we might all be part of this work in these last days. I thank you.